DW Africa Link.
What's going on in Tanzania? Hundreds of protesters have taken to the streets after a disputed election. The government has responded with force. The internet is shut down and the army has been deployed to contain the unrest. At a time of recording on the 30th October, Amnesty International reports that two people have died so far. So is President Samia Suluhu Hassan restoring order or silencing dissent? And what does this unfolding situation mean for one of East Africa's most stable nations? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
We are in a situation where it is sort of a coronation. So Samia is trying to reinstate herself in the reins of power without being elected by the people. So she's definitely not going to have the democratic mandate of the people. Many of us who are in the opposition politics, especially the leadership of Chadema, have almost all gone into hiding. So that is the current status as we speak.
That was John Kituka, the chairperson of the opposition Chadema Party, a key figure in the current unrest. And critics of President Suluhu would agree with him. So how did we get here? Tanzanians went to the polls this week in a vote meant to renew the country's democratic path. President Samia Suluhu Hassan faced 16 little-known contenders after the main opposition leaders were barred from running or jailed. One of them, Tundu Lissu, remains in detention on treason charges. The government insists the vote was fair, but the opposition says it was neither free nor credible. The government has imposed curfews in Dar es Salaam and other major cities, ordering public servants to work from home. Ferry services to Zanzibar have been suspended, and soldiers are manning roadblocks nationwide. President Samia pitches herself as a stabilizing force, a leader preserving unity and peace. But critics argue that under her watch, civic space is shrinking fast, and dissent is being criminalized. For more on this, let's bring in Fergus Kell, a research fellow with the Africa Programme at Chatham House. I also have Blessing Vava, executive director of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, which is a civil society organization. He's a prominent Zimbabwean human rights leader and political analyst. He was deported from Tanzania after being denied entry at the airport. Welcome, both of you, to Africa Link. With that introduction, Blessing, it almost feels right to come straight to you, though what happened to you in Tanzania was anything but a blessing, no pun intended. You arrived without official accreditation, hoping to observe the election. What did you expect would happen, and what actually happened when you got there?
On the 28th of October, 2025, I arrived at Julius Nyerere International Airport. And upon going to the counters to have my passport stamped, that's when the immigration official asked me the purpose of my visit, where I was staying. And I told him that I'm not in Tanzania in any official capacity, but I'm in Tanzania as an African, and I'm in Tanzania as an African who has visited another African country. That's where he said to me I should wait a bit. So after a few minutes, he called a guy who I think looked like his superior. He gave him my passport, and he took it away, and I was told to sit. Then after 30 minutes, they called me back. They asked me again when was the last time that I had visited Tanzania. I told them that I was last there in 2019. And if I knew anyone in Tanzania, I said, no, I don't know anyone, but I'm just there as a visitor. That's when they then took my passport again. They went with it. After an hour or so, two men then came. They took me to some room upstairs. closed the door and they said that welcome to our interrogation room, started asking questions about what I do, my relationship with the Zimbabwean government, my social life, my family. So they then took me down. That's when we took some fingerprints, they took some pictures of me, recorded some statements, and now there were four guys. Each one of them had a notebook. Scanning my passport, each one of them was taking pictures of my bio page of my passport. And I was then taken to some room, and then they told me that I've been denied entry into Tanzania. I asked why. They said that I was a security risk and I'm prohibited from entering the Republic. Therefore, I was going to be deported the following day back to Zimbabwe. They also indicated that they knew already that I was coming, and they claimed that they had been informed by Interpol. So I then asked that what crime had I committed, and then they said that doing it for the safety of their citizens.
You were described as a security risk. Why do you think your visit was seen as a security risk?
I guess I also suspect that probably they had communicated with the Zimbabwean government to get my profile. But also, the last time that we were in Tanzania, it was in 2019 during the SADC People's Summit. And there was an incident where the government of Zimbabwe then published an article claiming that we had gone to Tanzania to train in banditry. So I guess I was just flagged out as a person of interest. So when I got in, I think my name was then flagged. And of course, the Zimbabwean authorities then gave me my profile, and probably they also had made some search, probably going through my pages on Facebook or social media or on the internet.
Right. Thanks for sharing that story with us. Not a pleasant story to share if you've been kicked out of a country. But we need to sort of dig deeper into all of this. Fergus Kell, you've been listening to what Blessing has been saying. Does that come as a surprise to you? What do you make of that?
Thank you. I mean, I think the first thing I'd say is that very much does not come as a surprise to me, given recent activity by the Tanzanian government. We've seen the deputy leader of the largest opposition party in Tanzania, Chadema, John Heche. He was arrested at the northern border with Kenya, trying to cross over to attend Raila Odinga's funeral. We've seen multiple other human rights defenders from the region, from Kenya, from Uganda, arbitrarily arrested, according to reports, and within Tanzania while attempting to attend the trial of Tundu Lissu, the opposition leader in Tanzania. Those have been some quite high profile cases where there has been a state backlash on regional actors trying to enter Tanzania in order to defend human rights processes and electoral processes. So unfortunately, this case doesn't come as a surprise to me, given recent developments.
I wonder how you would describe or characterize the 2025 Tanzanian elections, right? And again, as you touched on, what the exclusion of major opposition parties signal about the state of political pluralism or democracy generally in Tanzania?
Well, I think the first thing there would be that there is a total lack of real competition in these elections. So Tundu Lissu, as I mentioned, he's been imprisoned since April on treason charges. His party, Chadema, have been banned from contesting elections until 2030. The other larger opposition party on the mainland, ACT Wazalendo, their leading candidate for the presidency, Luhaga Mpina, has been banned from the court by the courts from contesting. So we've seen kind of any realistic challenge at that presidential level has been eradicated well in advance through legal means, through the use of the weaponization of the law in Tanzania. So that's really removed competition at the higher level from the process, I think. But this really feeds into a longer term sequence in Tanzania, in that if we look back at the local elections last year at the end of 2024, CCM, the ruling party, won almost 99% of seats. There's been a long-running conversation about the reform of electoral laws in Tanzania. There was dialogue happening with the opposition. The laws that ultimately resulted from that have been widely criticized as just being cosmetic. And I think we've seen, in terms of the exclusion of opposition, in terms of that overwhelming victory in the local elections last year, that there is some truth to those allegations, that the reforms in Tanzania to the electoral system, you know, what we continue to see is essentially a de facto one-party system in Tanzania, where the constitution has not been overhauled since independence, when you've had a ruling party, CCM, in power consistently since independence. And there seems to be very little appetite currently to change that default paradigm in Tanzania.
Based on all the challenges that you've talked about, I'm just wondering what it means for the legitimacy of whoever wins. Now, I don't want to jump the gun, but as you may have also heard a lot of, many experts are expecting the incumbent Samia Suluhu to win. Again, we are not saying that's what's going to happen, because we'll still have to wait for the final results. But whoever wins, what does it mean for the legitimacy, both domestically and internationally?
What we've seen in terms of how the election day on 29th of October has played out, in terms of, you know, there are reports of protests, relatively large scale protests in some urban areas in Tanzania, although a shutdown of the internet has kind of has prevented a kind of a wider picture emerging of the scale of those protests at this stage. But I think what that points to is a bit of a legitimacy deficit in terms of the lack of real choice being presented to voters. And I think what we've seen in, you know, this is a longer term trend in Tanzania. Again, the 2020 elections, there were very much allegations of irregularities in how those were conducted. It was still a sweeping victory for CCM. But I think this is the first time really since the one party system ended in Tanzania.
Right. Thank you very much, Fergus. Blessing, let me get back to you. What do you think your deportation, right, says about the political climate and space for civil society in Tanzania right now?
Well, not just my deportation, but the deportation of, you know, all the other activists from different countries who are trying to enter into Tanzania. I think it also shows that, number one, there is no respect for human rights in Tanzania. Number two, the rule of law has broken down, and the country is systematically morphing into a real dictatorship, where the rights of citizens are trampled upon, the rights of even those, you know, who are visiting that country. Because if I try to recall on the treatment that I got when I got to that airport, you know, I was treated like I'm a criminal. I was treated like an armed robber, which is something that you cannot expect in a country that possesses that rich liberation, you know, history. A country that hosted our liberation movements from across the region in also trying to gain freedom from colonialism. It's actually a shame that this is what we are now witnessing, that the vision of those who came before us, the likes of Julius Nyerere, what he espoused, what he represented, it's a sharp contrast on what we are witnessing on the ground in Tanzania right now.
How do you see this affecting regional cooperation among activists and civil society groups alike?
I think that it's an opportunity, especially for the activists across, not just in Southern Africa or East Africa, but across the African continent, to be able to come together and form a bigger solidarity movement. Because what we witness in Tanzania, it is the same that we have been witnessing in the various parts of our continent. And we have seen our leaders coming together, whether it's under the auspices of ECOWAS, whether it's the East African Community, whether it's SADC or it's African Union. They are coming together to agree on trampling the rights of their citizens. If the situation that we are seeing in Tanzania, we have not had a condemnation, especially from this African community, we did not hear a condemnation from SADC, We've not heard the condemnation from the AU. In fact, what we'll be witnessing in the coming days are congratulatory messages, which are void of turning a blind eye of all the irregularities that we are seeing, the abuse of human rights, the protests that are happening, the manipulation of the electoral process, the jailing of the opposition leaders. All those things are not going to talk about them. But it is an opportunity, especially for us, the Solidarity Movement, to come together and make sure that we have created a solid solidarity movement to challenge, the little civic space or democratic space that is available for now.
Right. Thank you very much, Blessing. Fergus, picking up from where Blessing left off, is it surprising or is it shocking that we've not heard much from the African Union or the regional bodies? And what does that really mean for the situation on the ground?
Thank you. I don't think it's hugely surprising that we haven't heard any critical statements from the African Union, from the regional bodies in this respect. I will say that there are currently electoral observer missions from SADC, from the EAC, and from the African Union all on the ground in Tanzania. So we will have to wait and see what comes out of those election observer reports. I personally would be, again, surprised to see an overtly critical tone contained within any of those reports based on past experience. But again, the picture on the ground from election day is still currently quite opaque. So that's still to be determined. But I think broadly, this points to a bit of a crisis of legitimacy in terms of regional institutions, in terms of the ability to which they are able to come out and criticize member states, and also for the African Union in terms of, the principle of subsidiarity, to what extent the African Union is able to be critical of electoral processes in member states. So I think Tanzania fits into that picture.
While we're talking, and we're recording this on the 30th of October, we know there's still a curfew, so people cannot be out, after a certain time. We also know that there's been protests, right? And we've seen some protesters burn down some properties, set some properties on fire, in some cases basically attacking celebrities or well-known figures that they expect to stand up against the government. How would you describe how the government is dealing with all of that's going on right now?
I think this is a question that comes back to how the government have dealt with the overall electoral period, in terms of this is what we're seeing in Tanzania is unprecedented. And it comes from the fact that we've seen this level of protest, of maybe disruption to some polling stations, happen on election day rather than around the announcement of results, as has been more common in other countries in Africa, speaks to the fact that lack of choice on election day itself. I think there have been some concerning reports of live rounds being fired by security services in Tanzania at protesters. So I think that's a concerning development in terms of the safety of peaceful protesters and demonstrators in Tanzania. But again, those reports are at an early stage. And I think more concerningly, alongside that as well, is the total shutdown of the internet and connectivity in Tanzania that's coming out in terms of reports from NetBlocks and other organizations that monitor these things, that suggests that the government is trying to control very strongly the release of any communications around protests. And that's a concern as well in terms of allowing transparency, allowing communication of these events, particularly if there are human rights disruptions going on through the security services and the potential shootings and killings of protesters.
Thank you, Fergus. So what do you believe is the way forward, Blessing? Because it seems we're talking about a lot of challenges in Tanzania and the fact that, in your own words, that the government is clearly clamping down on the opposition. You even used authoritarianism at some point. What is the way forward to get Tanzania out of this?
I think that the way forward out of it is that there is need for reform. There's need for institutional reform. There's also a need for the restoration of the rule of law. But above all, I think Tanzanians need dialogue. They need a national dialogue. I don't know if probably the East African community and SADC can be able to initiate some mechanisms or a framework so that there is an inclusive dialogue where the opposition is involved, where the ruling party is involved, where the civic society is involved, so that they chart a way forward in trying to, have a roadmap, in fact, of the reforms, the way that they are conducting their elections. But above all, they also need constitutional reform.
How easy or not will it be for all these things that you're saying to happen? Because, when you talk about Tanzania, this is something that has been going on for a while. Change hasn't really happened. So what will change this time to force this sort of discussion to create the difference that you're talking about, Blessing?
I think that circumstances is going to force that to happen, because if anything to go by, if these protests do continue at a larger scale, I think something is to give. Because the way that they are handling, of course, they are trying to handle it with a heavy hand, but there will come a time when the people will say enough is enough. And we would not want to wait to a situation where everything would have broken down, where the destruction of property, the disturbances of business, because we saw what happened in Mozambique from October last year, where it ended up not just being a crisis for Mozambique, but it ended up being a regional economic crisis for the neighboring countries. So I doubt that the neighboring countries are going to fold, because if these things continue, obviously they're going to disturb economic activity, which would then affect, the whole region. And this, I think that it will then force them to act, especially the East African community, to make sure that at least there's a restoration of peace and economic activity in the region.
Right. Thanks, Blessing. Your final words, Fergus, on the way forward, on sort of calming tensions. Results are not out yet, but tensions are really high in the country. Way forward to prevent or to sort of deal with the challenges that Tanzania has, as we've talked about.
I'd concur with what Blessing has mentioned there around the fundamentals of this come back to constitutional reform, where, we're looking at constitution that hasn't been overhauled since independence, that allows enormous executive power in the president to appoint members of the National Electoral Commission, High Court judges, other senior positions in the country. But constitutional reform in Tanzania is a very sensitive issue, partly because of the union between Tanzania and Zanzibar and some of the status issues there. So it's a very sensitive topic. It's something that hasn't been seriously progressed since 2014, when there was something called the Constituent Assembly. There were suggestions of a referendum in 2015. That didn't happen. So the process is, the process is complex, but there needs to be clearer dialogue and a roadmap put in place longer term. But a lot of that is going to be a very difficult process as well in the short term, given some of the sensitivities around the election. There's still a lot of uncertainty about the scale of this mobilization, how long it can be sustained. And I think we've seen elsewhere on the African continent with what's happened in Madagascar in recent weeks, that certainly, demonstrations can lead to quite significant impact. And I don't think that Tanzania is necessarily a case where that situation is likely to be replicated. But I think longer term, the sustaining mobilization on the streets could have some real impact. So there needs to be that longer term reforms towards constitutional change. There needs to be the release of political prisoners like Tundu Lissu in a managed way for the country. So there are a lot of questions that are still open for Tanzania.
Thank you very much to the both of you. Fergus Kell, research fellow with the Africa program at Chatham House. Also Blessing Vava, executive director of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, a civil society organization. Thank you both for your time and insights.
Across Tanzania, protesters have torched buses, attacked police stations, and vandalized polling centers, while others are simply demanding their votes be counted. For many Tanzanians, this moment feels like a turning point. After years of being seen as a model of calm and stability, the country now faces deep questions about its democratic path. The ruling Chamacha Mapinduzi Party has been in power since independence and looks set to extend its 60-decade rule. But with major opposition candidates barred from running in elections and turnout sharply down, critics are concerned about the state of democracy. So, can Tanzania find a peaceful way forward? Share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.